First of all, giving all honor to God, who is the head of my life, and deep gratitude to Pastor Misael and to the saints here at Christ Lutheran Church. As an employee of the church-wide expression of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, I bring greetings on behalf of our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, and all of my colleagues at the national expression of your church-wide organization. My connection with Pastor Misa, as you heard, comes through community organizing, which is the work that I do throughout the country on behalf of the church, and more specifically through the Organizing for Mission Network. My churchwide job allows me to be the national director for OFM, and this means that I'm helping congregations and synods and nonprofits and dioceses and districts and all sorts of groups that are working for justice and looking for new ways to build relationships in their communities. So in Baltimore, this looks like establishing land trusts to preserve the community. And in New Orleans, it looks like disaster preparedness. And in Iowa, it's looking at policies around school districts. And in many places, it is immigrant solidarity work, like what's happening in Seattle and Los Angeles, San Diego and Buffalo and Washington, D.C. We focus on place-based organizing, which means that the issues that churches are working on come from the grassroots. We focus on doing community work so that churches and communities can work together to build power and help create the world that we want to see. A world that is rooted in justice and peace and in alignment with what God hopes for the world. And so it's a deep joy and honor to be with you this morning to share a few words in reflection, particularly on the gospel. So, church, will you please pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I love this organizing work and the opportunity to talk about organizing work, but the reality is, when you get around community organizers, we kind of have our own language. There's a lot of jargon in it, but really, it is all about developing relationships so that we can help build bridges and establish connections in our neighborhoods, our cities, and our regions. Christ Lutheran might not feel like a likely spot for community organizing, but this is a pivotal moment for your congregation. Who will you be to West Covina? Who will you be in this community? How are you redefining yourselves? Who are your neighbors? And what are their hopes and their dreams? Think about the journey that you have already been on, the faithful witness to establish a Mandarin language expression of the church, and of having a team minister, Wenyang Pan. Think about the movement of the Spirit in calling Pastor Misa here. And think about these last few months, what it has meant for your congregation, what it has required of you, and how even in the midst of the closing of a ministry and a school, there is also the possibilities that are opening before you, which are abundant and full of hope. See, this is precisely the moment to look towards organizing. And so I'm excited to be here and to encourage that among you. We got this saying in organizing work. The closer you are to a problem, the closer you are to the solution. And the further you are from a problem, the more you can philosophize about it. I want you to keep this saying in mind. The closer you are to a problem, the closer you are to the solution. The further you are from a problem, the more you can philosophize about it. And I want you to think about that as we dive into this gospel reading, which, let me tell you, when we talked about me preaching, I was really excited to be here. It was great. And then I said, what's the text for that Sunday? And he said, the Gerasene demonic. And I'm like, great, we're preaching on demons? Okay, bring it on. Right? It's this weird text, right? Battles with demons, ecstatic stories, misappropriating our understanding of mental illness, the supernatural. There's a lot happening in this text. Which also means that there's a lot of different directions we could go with this text. But I want to remind us that this is not primarily a story about swineherders or townspeople or empire or even really Jesus. This is a story about a man possessed. The closer you are to the problem, the closer you are to the solution. And the further you are from the problem, the more you can philosophize about it. It's easy to tell this gospel story with the man being a victim of empire, a victim of exclusion, of forces bigger than themselves. And we can translate that victimization onto people that have been pushed to the margins of our society. Theologian Howard Thurman calls this the disinherited. We can think about our unhoused neighbors, those who have been cast aside from community, those excluded because of race or class, gender expression or gender identity, sexual orientation, immigration status, educational status, ecclesiastical status. Are you part of the church or not? These forces of division are legion. The problem with seeing folks as victims is that it only inspires pity, not solidarity. It creates a division, a line between us and them. Lines like, there's the traveler and the good Samaritan, there's the widow and there's the prophet. There's the good guy and the person who needs help from the good guy. And yeah, you could read this story as Jesus is the good guy and the one possessed is the one who needs help. But I don't think that's really what's going on here. See, the miracle isn't the exorcism. The miracle is not the casting out of demons. So we look at the text. We find out we are in Gerasene, and it says the opposite of Galilee, which is a description of location, opposite side of the lake, but it's also a description of other opposites. It's the physical, the theological, and political opposite of Galilee. This is a land of Gentiles. This is a land of outsiders, of those who are not part of the covenant community of the Jewish folks. Notice the pigs that are there. It's a clear sign this isn't a Jewish town. So we've got this city of outsiders, and then we've got an outsider among the outsider, a nesting doll of exclusion, a man who's living among the tombs, a man we are told is of the city, but not from the city. He's living in graveyards, running around naked. He is an outsider. And then we get this exchange, this back and forth between the man possessed and Jesus. And the man possessed knows Jesus has power. And when Jesus says, "What's the demon's name?" Jesus is actually exerting power in that moment. In ancient cultures, to be able to name something is to have power over it, right? And so the demons say, "Hey, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what are you doing here?" in an effort to name that, and Jesus flips that moment and commands the demon to say, "Tell me your name." Jesus is expecting an answer. We get the answer Legion, a name that represents a multitude and is a homonym for a military unit in the army of the empire. All of this is pointing to a fact that the exorcism is not the miracle. The exorcism is expected. It's also part of this narrative arc within this section of Luke's gospel, making clear that Jesus is the one with power. An arc of storms, spirits, sickness, and stirring. Jesus calms the storm while crossing the sea. This is a story of Jesus having power over spirits, casting out demons. A story of sickness when he brings healing to the woman with perpetual bleeding. And the stirring by raising the daughter of Jairus. Jesus is expected to have power. Power over downpours, demons, disease, and even death. So the exorcism isn't the miracle. And we know this because of the organizing principle. The closer you are to the problem, the closer you are to the solution. This is a man from the city who no longer lives in the city. His difference, his outsiderness, has kept him isolated and all alone. And the townspeople have decided that the best way to handle him would be to detain him and hide him in a non-disclosed secure location where he was no longer a threat to the citizens of the land. They decided the best way to handle him was to disappear him. The further you are from the problem, the more you can philosophize about it. The problem wasn't the demons. Those were the symptoms. See, the real thing that needed a miraculous intervention, the real place where power was revealed, was in redrawing the lines of community, was in restoring relationships, was making the outsider among outsiders a messenger of God's saving power. See, Jesus is redrawing the lines, reforming and reforming community. And the people were scared. Their livelihood was disrupted. I mean, imagine if those pigs were supposed to feed you and your family. This person isn't supposed to be clothed and in his right mind. He's supposed to be out there, away, gone, disappeared. But now everything is getting disrupted and the people freak out. They tell Jesus, "Get out of here." And the man who was once possessed, he thinks, "Actually, it's probably a good idea for me to dip out of here too." He's like, "Jesus, I'm coming with you." But Jesus says no. The miracle is a newly defined, newly formed community. A place where the man now is situated and has a story to tell. Jesus knew what the problem was, because he listened to the man who was isolated and knew the solution was being restored back to community. And the community needed a miracle to reimagine who's in and who's out. We are living in a time where language of insiders and outsiders is everywhere. When bombs are literally dropping, voices are trying to other the innocent victims of war and genocide. This is a time when communities are not being defined by the love of Jesus, but the status of immigration papers. We are living in a time where political disagreements, which are not superficial and can be deadly, but a time where our politics show us how right we are and how wrong everyone else is, and how we just want to disappear the opposition. But what if the message that West Covina and the San Gabriel Valley needs to hear is that no one is disposable? That we aren't going to allow folks to be pushed to the margins of society, but instead we're going to redraw where the center is. That we're not rejecting the disinherited, but instead sharing a divine inheritance with them. We're not going to cast aside any folks in our community, those who have been excluded because of race and class and gender expression and gender identity and sexual orientation and political leanings and immigration status and educational status and ecclesiastical status. We are not going to allow our community to be defined those ways, because we believe there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male and female, for we are one in Christ. Can I get an amen up in here? We are saying that the miracle that Jesus did for these communities opposite of Galilee are the same miracles that is happening in our presence, a miracle that calls us to love our neighbors and to love our enemies. A new definition of community. And this isn't some false, superficial, and appropriated use of kumbaya, where we're all just getting along to go along. Because some folks are our enemies. They are a threat to people we love and the values we hold. And they are still worthy of love. In spite of themselves, they are not beyond redemption. We are not canceling anybody. The rain falls on the righteous and the wicked. What we are doing is remaking, reforming, and reforming our community. Making communities where we function and we belong. Where we have healthy boundaries and compassion. That we are communities rooted in love. You think West Covina could use a little more love? Do you think this region could use a little more love? This nation could use a little more love. This world could use a little more love. Is that not the miracle that God is working among us right now? And so we ask ourselves, who is most harmed by hatred and exclusion and violence? And how do we follow them? How do we move in solidarity with them? How do we understand that the community is one through them? Because those who are closest to the issues are also the ones who know the solution. Christ is calling us into this work. And the miracle-working power of Jesus can reshape us and our communities. And that's our good news. Amen.